This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am super duper uber excited to welcome back to the show the great and talented, fabulous, handsome, funny, witty, smart Matt Barrows. How was that? That was a good introduction, right?
Yeah, that was great. I love how you snuck handsome in there. And that was one of the first adjectives too.
It was. I remember in the past doing an introduction where I didn't get it in there accidentally.
Oh, yeah. I look out for that.
So I wanted to make sure, because it's nice of you to take your time and give it to the podcast. So, you know, I want to acknowledge all your wonderful qualities.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction.
You are very welcome. So, Matt, we cover a football team in the Bay Area called the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're playing well. Good team. Beat the Seahawks on Sunday. It's so funny because there was a time where the 49ers could never beat the Seahawks, and now the Seahawks can't beat the 49ers. But I guess that just shows how the league is very cyclical. But beat the Seahawks Sunday. Dallas beats the Eagles. The 49ers are now in place for the number one playoff spot. I don't want to make this about me, but you probably feel similarly on this. For our January travel schedule, that would be amazing for them to hang on to that. Also, a first round bye would be lovely for us, and I guess them too. But again, we're the ones on this podcast. But this is a team that went through a 3-game losing streak. It looked like maybe all hopes of that were lost. And now here we are towards the end of the season, and they pretty much control their own destiny.
Yeah, I think selfishly, we just don't want to go back to Philadelphia.
100%.
Do your listeners know what happened in the press box when some of the unruly fans banged so hard on the glass that the partition opened, and it looked like the vandals were storming the Citadel at one point. I was afraid Matt Maiocco was going to get pulled out into the crowd at one point.
I don't mean to laugh, but the visual of that is incredible. However, we wouldn't want that for our good friend Matt Maiocco or for any of us. So, no, we do not want to go back to Philly. Also, long flight. It'll be cold. The weather in Santa Clara will be so much nicer in late January. Everybody should want to come there. Everybody should want the 49ers to be the number one seed. But I'd forgotten about that. I don't think my listeners did know about that.
Yeah, you probably mentally blocked that out. It was such a harrowing experience. But
A little scary. It was loud. It was a little scary.
It was a little scary. But from the 49ers' perspective, they don't want to go back to Philadelphia. I mean, I don't think that they're scared, but you know, they would have a great home field advantage. They want that advantage against the Eagles or the Cowboys or whoever it may be. That's secondary. Primary is the bye. Only one team gets a bye per conference, and the 49ers know that that's such an advantage. I mean, this team is very scientific about its rest, its sleep, all of that stuff. If they get a leg up rest-wise on the Lions, Cowboys, Eagles, Rams, whoever it may be, of the world, that's a decided advantage. And it's something that they're absolutely gunning for. That's priority one right now over these last four games.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I'm glad you brought up all those things, because I've seen people say, oh, home field advantage isn't a thing anymore. Fans are everywhere. That's not what it is. It's all the things you just mentioned. It's the sleep, the rest, the flights, all of that. It is a true advantage. It really does make a difference. Certainly, there are no guarantees. We saw the 49ers the last couple of years have to play all three weekends. Granted, they lost in every NFC championship game. There's something to be said for that. But teams do it, but it's a tremendous advantage. It used to be two teams got it, and then when they added another team to the playoffs, it was only one in each conference. So it would be huge. So the Seattle game, let's talk a minute about that. Like Steve Wilkes, it's behind, you know, he always says in his press conference, it was behind us, and he likes to move on to the next game, but I still think we should discuss the Seattle game, and specifically Brock Purdy, you know, for all the people who say he can only make check down throws, not a great game for that. But we are actually, today, I believe, is the 1 year anniversary from Brock Purdy making his first start for San Francisco. And you look at this past year and you look at how he's improved. And it's pretty incredible that they may have found their franchise guy. I mean, they probably did.
And that was sort of a question mark going into this season is, was what we saw, and it was all in December and January, a fluke. Mm-hmm. I mean, was he going to be brought down to earth, return to the means, whatever that expression is? His interception total was so small last year that you thought, oh boy, that's going to have to go up. It hasn't. I mean, he's gotten better from last season. Last season he was remarkable for how mentally sharp he was, how quickly mm-hmm. he saw plays developing. And if anything, that's gotten even better. And I think that Debo Samuel touchdown, the one that really sort of sparked their passing game at least, was a great case in point, because Samuel was not the number one, maybe not even the number two or number three options on that play. But it's something that Purdy saw and, read correctly. And, it was even Samuel noted that he didn't realize he was going to be targeted on that play until he looked back and saw Purdy sort of winding up for his throw. And that's when Samuel knew that he had to get on his horse and really, start hoofing it to catch up with that pass. But my point is that his brain works a little faster than everybody else's. That was evident last year. And he's managed to squeeze some MPHs, out of it again this year. He's even better than he was a year ago. And it's awesome that you brought up that here we are at the 1 year anniversary. It seems longer now.
It does.
It's really interesting to see how much he's been able to improve from an already fantastic start.
And I think that is something we haven't seen in a 49ers quarterback in quite some time. His ability to read the field, his ability to, if his number one, number two isn't available, to figure out who else is. I mean, that's just something, no disrespect to his predecessor, but something we just haven't seen in quite some time. The other thing we really haven't seen, and again, this is no disrespect to his predecessor, but the improvement and the getting better. I think one of the issues with the previous quarterback, who I'm just not going to name in this conversation, but one of the issues with the previous quarterback is he really didn't. He kept making the same mistakes over and over again. And it's not that he couldn't take them to a certain point, but Brock Purdy may be the guy that gets them over the hump. And it's interesting, you look at last Sunday's game against the Eagles, and who knows what would have happened in January. And it was a different team, and that was a different Eagles team. And Brock Purdy certainly had been playing well, but maybe not to the levels we're talking about right now. But you look back at the NFC Championship game, and had they not taken his elbow in those first few minutes, maybe they do go to the Super Bowl and win it.
But yeah, maybe. Sure. I'm not sure why you're attacking CJ Beathard like that. I mean, kind of vicious right now.
I mean, I don't mean to be vicious to poor CJ Beathard, but
Nick just, Mullins. But I mean, it's not a slam on Jimmy Garoppolo or any of those guys. It's that Purdy is elite in that regard.
He is.
And they're, maybe Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we're talking about processing and kind of seeing an entire field and making the correct reads. This is where Purdy excels. And, there might be a handful of guys that are at that level, but most guys are not. And a lot of guys that make the Pro Bowl this year will not be at that level. It's just something remarkable that we're all witnessing right now.
It is. And it's remarkable to think that he very well could be the MVP of the league. But then there's a part of me, to be honest with you, that doesn't want to say that, because the only reason we really say that is because he was the last pick in the draft. And although, as we talked about earlier, it does feel much longer, I feel like he's been the quarterback of this team for 5 years. That was only a year ago. But I think it just shows that, once you get in the league, it doesn't really matter where you were picked. And there's something that this is kind of a tangent, but I'd love your take on it, is it's interesting. You can have an undrafted free agent who plays really well and people are like, yeah, I mean, but he was undrafted free agent. People just missed on him, but he's an incredible player. And now he's one of the best in his position in the league. We'd say that about Charvarius Ward, one of the best in his position in the league. For some reason, the final pick in the draft does not get that same thought process. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just such a singular, you're the last kid picked on the basketball court at gym class. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I get your point that there are people picked, quote unquote picked, who joined a team who weren't drafted at all. They're lower than Mr. Irrelevant, and yet it doesn't have that stigma
right.
of the final pick. But it's a good point. I mean, do you remember when it's a few days after the draft and they have us in the media room? And they bring in the draft picks and they all stand at the end of the media room and we basically meet them for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to them on Zoom or on the phone on draft day, but this is the first time face to face. And my recollection of Purdy coming in there is that, he just looked like a regular guy.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow, he's really confident about himself. I didn't think this specifically, but this is the sense that I had, this league is going to humble him really quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. And that's sort of like, this perception that people are dealing with. There's nothing about him at first glance that makes you go, wow, this guy's going to be special. This guy's terrific. He's a very ordinary size, ordinary looking guy, but he does have an extraordinary brain and an extraordinary presence about himself. And that's what's allowed him to be as impressive as he's been so far.
Well, and I do 5 fun facts with all of them that
yes.
day. And
right. you squirrel them out of the room.
I do.
And you hog them for yourself for your 5 fun facts. Did you do that with Purdy?
I sure did. And you're going to ask me these 5 fun facts, which I don't remember what they all were. But one of them, I do believe, though, was that he watches the show Outer Banks on Netflix that I love. So it immediately endeared me to him.
I watch Outer Banks, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I knew that about you.
My nieces, this kind of shows you the level where you and Purdy are. They, when they were, they must have been 14 or 15, they got really into Outer Banks. It was during COVID, right?
Yeah, it was
and
so good.
They made me watch it, and for what it was really fun to watch. It's not the Outer Banks of North Carolina; it's all shot in South Carolina, but they call it Outer Banks because it's a cooler name. That's a fun fact.
That's a not fun fact
for me.
It's actually an Outer Banks fun fact. If we were going to do 5 fun facts in Outer Banks. But I remember doing it with him and thinking, this kid's really confident. Like, there was a real confidence to him. And you did kind of see it. I mean, I remember being in rookie minicamp. You know, we do the interviews. And then I remember the next day being at rookie minicamp and doing all kinds of filming and content around him, but thinking, I mean, what am I going to do with all this footage? Like, what am I going to do with these clips down the road?
Yeah.
But he really proved himself. And I'll go back to, and I've talked about this before in the podcast, but I think you'll remember when he did beat Nate Sudfeld out and the 49ers said, like, he earned the job and we were afraid if we cut him, we wouldn't get him back. And I think at the time, all of us were maybe the teeniest bit cynical about that comment. But they were right. They were really right on him.
Yeah, no, I remember that. It was around the joint practices in Minneapolis when we started. You know, it was Greg Papa, who has kind of an insider because he works for the team, was saying that, you know, it could be that Brock Purdy is the number two quarterback. He could, you know, get a lot of reps in this upcoming game against the Vikings. And yeah, like you, I was like, what? Brock Purdy? I just didn't see it at that point. But that's when he started to make his move. And you're right. I mean, Shanahan and Brian Griese and the guys making those decisions were seeing something in him. And I think it was that, you know, this is a guy who was aggressive with the ball and he didn't make the same mistake twice. I mean,
that was
he was making progress. Things that Brock Purdy is good at, he was starting to show there. And I guess it was a little bit later before, you know, everybody else started to kind of catch up with what they were seeing.
So we've covered Brock. You mentioned Deebo Samuel, who I think is worth discussing, because we are seeing that Deebo Samuel of 2021, you know, a healthy Deebo Samuel, a Deebo Samuel that had training camp and really being reminded of just how special he is. Because I would say, you know, going into the season, and there's going to be talk and they're going to have decisions to make and all of that, like, is Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, who would you pick, blah, 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 blah. But Deebo Samuel is really just kind of reestablishing himself as this tremendously special and unique talent. It's rather incredible they have him and Christian McCaffrey on the same team. But what we've seen from him the last 2 weeks also is an ability to really rise to the occasion and make a play whenever they need someone to make a play. And then Kyle Shanahan said on his Monday conference call, you know, we want to get the ball in his hand as much as we can, because when we put the ball in his hands, good things happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's really been a spark for this team, like he was in 2021. The difference in 2021 is that he was their only spark. I mean,
yeah,
they really leaned on him heavily from the midpoint on. And you remember that game in Green Bay, I don't know how many times he left that game, but, you know, got, you know, beaten up by the end of the season and had to leave the game in Los Angeles too, the championship game. Right around halftime. The difference this year is that they don't have to lean on him quite as heavily. There's Ayuk, there's Kittle, there's Christian McCaffrey, so that Deebo Samuel should be fresh basically for that that stretch run and in the playoffs. And you know, it brings us back to getting the bye. Why that's so important, so that you can avoid sort of that fluke injury. You know, Trent Williams was hurt in the championship game too. I think he got hurt against Green Bay. So you're just taking out of the, you know, you're removing one game for all sorts of bad things to happen. Injuries, fluke plays, you know, Jaquaski Tartt dropping interceptions, things like that. It's just one third of the possibilities gets eliminated when you get that bye.
It's really amazing that, and not to get into a whole thing about the NFL player safety, but it's amazing the NFL extended the regular season and took away the bye for one team in the same year. It's an interesting strategy.
Right. You know, their whole thing is eventually we want 18 games. I'm just waiting for that to become a theme for the NFL owners.
Yeah. Oof. That doesn't sound ideal, but we'll, I guess, cross. We as in you and I, because we have to play in all the games, but we have to cover them. It's a lot for us too. But do you feel that, and this is like totally random, and I'm not sure anybody else is going to find this interesting, but whatever. Do you feel, Matt, the last couple of years, because I'm kind of feeling this, that but the longer season and the extended season, because they've gone far, do you find at this point the season you find yourself to be a little bit more tired than you were maybe 3 or 4 years? Well, not three, because it was 2020, but let's say 4 or 5 years ago.
I always feel tired, come December and January. David Lombardi and I split the away games, which I've found is helpful for me because I just don't. I mean, going to Philadelphia and coming back, mm-hmm. I mean, you feel that throughout the whole week.
You do.
No matter how carefully you do it and how much good sleep you get, it's taxing on you. And we've got what? Cleveland was East Coast, Jacksonville,
Pittsburgh,
Washington, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. There were a lot of East Coast trips. So, yeah, to answer your question, I absolutely feel it. Although, since I've been splitting with David, I don't feel it quite as acutely as I did a few years ago.
And I think this year, at least what I'm also feeling this year, is that we didn't have a week-long trip, which on the one hand is great because it is a long time to be away. But on the other hand, it does cut out 2 5-hour flights. So it's just, it just is what it is. And they don't do the schedule around you and I, which rude, but they don't.
What you need to do is clone Tracy Sandler so that you could split with the other Tracy half of the game. So you don't have to go to all 8 away games, basically, or 9 this year.
We should totally do that. If you guys have any thoughts, please send them to us on how we could do that.
Evil Tracy. We could have good Tracy and evil Tracy.
Which games did we send evil Tracy to? Probably Jacksonville.
Philadelphia, faux show.
Yes, faux show. Evil Tracy definitely needs to be. But that way, if anybody tries to break him open those windows again, I would be there to defend Matt Maiocco and Cam Inman.
Yeah, those fans would rue the day that they came in on evil Tracy.
You know what? They really would. So watch out, guys. So looking ahead, the 49ers have the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Commanders, the Rams. Now, this is the NFL. So 3 out of 4 of those games feel like for sure wins, but they still have to play them and you just never know. The biggest one, of course, being the Ravens, the toughest one, I should say, being the Ravens on Christmas, Monday Night Football, which should be an excellent football game. But each one of these games becomes really important because chances are Philadelphia isn't going to lose again. Dallas, I don't remember exactly their schedule going forward. You may, but they may not lose again. They got to win these next 4 games if they want to hold on to this one seed that we've talked about so much in this episode.
Yeah, I think they have to go 4-0. And that means the margin of error is so low. This upcoming game, I think on Wednesday, we're going to see an injury list that's bigger than at any point during the season.
Yeah, I agree with
that. I mean, we're talking like, 10, 12 guys are going to be on it. And so, they're going to Arizona, a team that likes to run the ball. It's got Kyler Murray. It's got James Conner. Remember, at the end of the game earlier at Levi's Stadium, James Conner was really upset. Remember he got into a fight with Talanoa Hufanga afterwards?
Oh, yes, I forgot. Boy, the kerfuffles have really been adding up this season.
Weird post-game kerfuffle. And we never really got to the bottom of that. But my point is that, this is sort of their Super Bowl. They're not going to the playoffs.
Right.
What they are is hosting a team that beat them, that got them upset. That's the best team in the league right now. Number one seed in the NFC. And might be doing so without Eric Armstead. And we don't know about Javon Hargrave at this point, but they're top 2 defensive tackles. So, I feel like the 49ers could be vulnerable in this game in that regard. Still think that they've got the talent advantage, but you look at the slate of games, that's the easiest one.
I just
created a threatening scenario for the 49ers. I mean, after the Ravens game, they have to go on a short week to Washington.
Yeah, that's not ideal either.
Long trip, short week. Again, this is going to be the Commanders' Super Bowl. So, I mean, there are challenges, a lot of challenges over these four games. I think the 49ers will be favored in each of them. They should win them. But as you noted, it's the NFL. This is the team in 2019 that lost to the Falcons at home.
Yes, they did.
During the stretch run. So anything is possible.
Anything is possible, but for our travel schedule and bye, I mean, we've talked a lot about with the players using that bye. Matt, we need that bye too.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Just to sit back on a Saturday and Sunday and watch the wild card games, that would be just so lovely.
It would be so lovely and just not get on planes. I'm really, really hoping for that. Like, guys, I don't want to make this about me and Matt, but I'm going to make it about me and Matt. If I need to do like a pregame rallying speech, I'm down. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Bang on the table. Focus, guys.
Focus. You know, I love getting content of them dancing at practice. Now I'm going to be like, stop dancing.
Why are you dancing? This is serious. You need to go 4-0.
WTF, Demo. I need you focused. I think that would go over super well. Speaking of Demo, talk and kerfuffles. Got ejected on Sunday. Kyle Shanahan, not pleased with that, but I kind of appreciate that he said that he heard from Lenore and that he was very remorseful and he felt bad and he knew he shouldn't have done it.
I thought it was Lenore's best game of the season.
It was.
Because no Charvarius Ward, which meant that Lenore had a big, you know, helping of DK Metcalf in this game. And, you know, those three receivers are really good and they're different. So each guy that you get on a given down presents something different. And I forget what Lenore's numbers were. I think he was targeted something like 6 times and he gave up 2 catches for 10 yards. It was an outstanding game for him. And I just think his confidence is now off the charts. He is a vastly different guy. We're talking about Brock Purdy a year ago. Remember, D'Amador Lenore a year ago, he was getting picked on. We weren't sure whether he was starter quality, in and out of games. Now he's established himself. He's by far their second best cornerback. And I think he's the guy that they really want to be their nickelback for the long haul, which means that they have to develop another outside cornerback. And they've got some tremendous candidates there, including your guy, Ambry Thomas, who also has been stepping up of late.
He has been stepping up of late. It'll be interesting to see. And I think he did a pretty good job on Sunday. I think Kyle Shanahan said he thought he had a hell of a game, and he certainly did. But he has been stepping up. I think part of what's also allowed him to step up is the excellent play of D'Amador Lenore and Charvarius Ward. But he certainly is a candidate. I really want them to draft Mikey Sanristil, who's an incredible nickel out of Michigan. And then Lenore can stay on the outside and Mikey Sanristil can come inside. But, you know, I'm not in charge of the draft, even though this last draft would make you think that maybe I'm like a little bit in charge of the draft.
Because you got so many Michigan players.
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Well, yeah, you could trot out the idea of being in the draft room and just offering helpful suggestions every now and then.
Listen, I don't think it would hurt anything. Maybe, but my list would probably. I'm a really good scout of one particular college football team. So if they want my thoughts elsewhere, it's going to be kind of hard. But if there's one particular college football team that they are like interested in and want to know my thoughts on the like 22 players that'll probably be drafted in this NFL draft, I am down to help.
What wherever. About teams that have played Michigan? Do you?
Yes, I can help with that too.
Okay.
Not quite to the same level, but I certainly can help with that too.
My thoughts are that, they do have a number of young players at cornerback. They've got Womack. They've got Ambry Thomas. I'm still considering him a young player.
He is a young player. I mean, he and Lenore are the same draft class. He is a young player.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they've got Darrell Luter, too, who I think that they're really happy with. Their need along the offensive tackle is pretty high. Wide receiver. Think of all the defensive ends that are going to be leaving in free agency. Chase Young, Cleveland Farrell. Randy Gregory, all those guys probably won't be back next year. So that could be another. We might have to get you scouting some defensive ends. And I think.
Oh, I've got some
for sure, but I think Ohio State has a couple of guys that are coming out. I don't know your thoughts about those guys.
I guess they're good, but you know, I think we know what my thoughts are on them. Yeah. But I will say, in all those other positions you mentioned, I do have some Wolverines in mind. So,
okay. All right. There you go.
But, you know, I think I've handled Nick Bosa and Chase Young being there really well. I mean, I don't want to brag or toot my own horn here, but Ohio State Michigan week, I posted Nick Bosa and Chase Young content. I think that shows a real level of professionalism. And that means I probably could help scout some of the Ohio State guys. For instance, Marvin Harrison, very good wide receiver.
Yeah, they might have to trade every one of their draft picks for the next 10 years in order to move up to get him.
So. I also don't think that's, and he's an incredible talent, but that's probably not need number one. I think they have a lot of wide receivers at the moment. But though that is going to be an interesting position next year, but that is probably a conversation for the offseason. But that is just, they have a lot of guys on 1 year contracts. And by a lot, they have two, but that seems like a lot. Two that are pretty important to them.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And in case you guys are wondering, it's Ray McLeod and Juwan Jennings, in case people are like, who is she talking about? But it should be interesting. So in conclusion, Matt Barros, we've decided Brock Purdy is elite at certain qualities and could be the potential MVP. We didn't really talk about that, but it felt like we probably are both in agreement that he could be the potential MVP.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, think about all that this team is accomplishing on offense.
Mm-hmm.
All the gaudy numbers that other offensive players have, it's Brock Purdy who's sort of orchestrating all of that. I mean, that needs to be recognized. And it's not just dump offs. It's real quarterbacking that we haven't seen since The Greatest Show on Turf. And mm-hmm. I think Kurt Warner won MVP one of those years. So yep. It only makes sense that Brock Purdy wins it this year.
And some of those balls he throws, they are just such dimes. Like it's really incredible. Like some of them go up and you think, oh no, that could be in, or nope, never mind. He threw that exactly where it was supposed to go. And Brandon Ayuk's there to catch it. Debo Samuel's there to catch him. Juwan Jennings there to catch it, whatever. But some of those throws have just been, I mean, they're incredible. And again, not something we've seen on this team in quite some time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was talking about. As far as, you know, perception last year, that he made a few of those throws and you thought, okay, he just got lucky on those. And mm-hmm. those are going to be interceptions next year. And this guy's going to fall back to earth. That didn't happen. He's still making those throws. He's just making more of them all the time. You know, the one to Ayuk in Seattle a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
The touchdown. That might be his best one of the season, but then he comes back and he's got three more like that against the Seahawks at Levi's. So
mm-hmm.
It's not, I think we can safely say after a year of Brock Purdy, it's not a fluke.
No, I would agree with that. It is absolutely not a fluke. You know what we're going to call this episode? The Year of Brock Purdy.
I like it.
Yeah, we like to be dramatic here at the Tracy Sandler Show.
What's the show that he likes? Oh, Outer Banks.
Outer Banks.
I was trying to spin off something with that, but I can't.
Outer Brock? No.
No. Outer Aaron Banks. No.
Outer
Aaron Banks, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the first time we brought him up, and we're 32 minutes in the episode, so I feel like it can't be called that. So I think it's going to be the year of the Brock Purdy. I could be really cheesy and do it's been a pretty good year, but I will refrain.
I like Outer Brock. That's good.
Outer Brock is not bad. I kind of like Outer Brock.
Yeah, me too.
We will consider that. All right, Matt, please tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm at Matt Barros. Tim Kawakami and I do a weekly podcast. I do a live room with David Lombardi via The Athletic. Basically, my nasally annoying voice is ubiquitous these days. So you can find it in a lot of places.
I love your voice, Matt Barros.
Oh, thank you. And you said I'm handsome too.
So this has been a really good day for you. Happy Monday.
It's one of the best days ever.
That's so kind. All right, you guys, you can find me on Twitter or X at TracyFGSN, on Instagram and Threads at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, I will talk to everybody later this week when we go a little bit more in depth in previewing the game against the Cardinals. Bye, all. Oh, wait. Also, Shohei Ohtani to the Dodgers. Yes. All right. Sorry, guys. I had to get it in. Okay, bye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.